Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Be sure to be listening at 5 o'clock. We're going to do a fun exercise with all of you. I have not come up with a snappy title, so at the moment it's just called State Your Case. This is what we are going to do. So you have an hour to think about it. I want all of you on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, this is at 5 o'clock. I want you all to tell us something about the Titans that you are absolutely certain of entering this season. And we will discuss it amongst ourselves. And we'll determine if you have a point or if you're full of crap. So that's what we'll do at 5 o'clock. So you have an hour to prepare for State Your Case. Hopefully I'll come up with a better title in the next hour. But that's coming up. That's coming up at 5 o'clock. Also, be sure to be listening. We do have a giveaway this hour for a pair of tickets to the Nashville Dance Festival at the Nashville Palace next month. So be listening for that.
Nashville Palace.
I'm unfamiliar with the Nashville Palace.
Me too. I'm not.
Willie, you've been around here long enough.
Where it is?
Are you familiar with the Nashville Palace?
Nope.
I don't think so.
He's trying to think hard.
So. Well, we'll all find out together.
Get familiar with it.
We'll all find out together. So be listening for that. Okay. So in the first hour, we talked, of course, about.
Is it by Opryland? Is this the palace by Opryland? I hesitate to say because there's a palace out there, I think, like a country music kind of thing. Is that right?
I couldn't tell you, Willie.
It could be another palace. Could be more than one palace.
There could. So,
is D-Mace going to be part of the Nashville Dancers at the Palace?
Well, the Nashville Dance Fest is taking over 90,000 square feet behind the legendary Nashville Palace. It's legendary, yet we don't know about it, for the ultimate country dance and music experience.
I think I've been there.
Okay.
This is out by Opry Mills, the Opryland Hotel, I think.
But just because we don't know about it doesn't mean it's not popular and everything else.
You don't want to see me dance.
Oh, I like to dance.
Yes, it appears that it's over by Opryland.
Okay. I have been there then.
He's been through down a cardboard and break dance.
I have not danced at the palace.
But you've been there.
But I've been there.
Okay, cool.
Willie's going to bust out the John Travolta look from Saturday Night Fever. Can't you see that?
I would need the wig.
Yes.
All right. Mm. Okay, so remember, state your case, Titans version, 5 o'clock. So if you've got to take... You have an hour to refine it before sharing it with us. Okay, so we spent the first hour talking about Cam Ward and Brian Callahan. There is something that Brian Callahan hasn't done that we all know is coming. We all know that Cam Ward is going to be the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans in just a matter of weeks, week one against the Denver Broncos. We all know that. But Brian Callahan has not come out and explicitly stated Cam Ward will be our starting quarterback in week one against the Denver Broncos. So it led me to wonder why. We all know it's going to happen. Why not just come out and say it? And I've heard one thing and read another, both of which came out today, or I think one may have come out yesterday, that attempted to answer this question. So here's the first one. This is Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. When the Titans went to Atlanta for joint practices, Breer made a pit stop in Atlanta to catch up with the Titans and Falcons. And then he did a podcast where he talked about his takeaways from the Tennessee Titans at that joint practice. Here is what Albert Breer had to say about Cam Ward.
Cam Ward is going to be the starting quarterback in week one. There's no question about that. So why haven't they named him the starting quarterback for week one? Well, the reason why, it's part of a bigger strategy for them to be difficult on Cam Ward. They want to make things hard for him now so they're easier during the regular season, and there are always going to be bumps when you're a rookie. So the feeling is you build in some resilience then, you coach him hard, you throw a lot at him, so when he's getting game plans during the week that's got a lot less material in it, he's more easily able to handle it. And the signs so far on Cam have been really, really good. They do want him to earn the job, and he's in the process of doing that. They feel like that'll give him more credibility with his teammates. It's not the only way he's building credibility with his teammates. He's held these 5:30 a.m. meetings with his fellow rookie skill players, And a lot of times you see that, and you know, coaches will tell you early on, and then it dissipates over time. Well, this hasn't, and they really do feel confident that his ability to teach this stuff back to his fellow rookies shows a different level of learning and taking ownership of the offense. So far, so good with Cam Ward and getting him ready to start week one against Denver.
So that was Albert Breer. By the way, I love that music back there. Maybe they'll play that at the Nashville Dance Fest at the legendary Nashville Palace.
So that's possible.
So that was Albert Breer discussing why the Titans have not come out and said already what we all know, that Cam Ward is the starting quarterback. He will start week one against the Denver Broncos. And then, as fate would have it, Dan Graziano of ESPN.com wrote a story published today with the headline, How NFL Teams Approach and Develop Rookie Quarterbacks at Training Camp. And one of the sections is titled, Make the Kid Earn It, which includes an interesting quote from Brian Callahan. But here's what Dan Graziano...
Very quotable coach.
He is a very quotable coach.
He is accessible.
Here's what Dan Graziano wrote leading into Callahan's quote. Quote, We see this everywhere. Sean Payton wouldn't call Bo Nix the starter in Denver right away last season, even though everyone knew he would be QB1, just like Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. Jackson Dart is sitting behind Russell Wilson in New York right now and probably will continue to do so once the season starts. The Falcons and Patriots managed Michael Penix Jr. and Drake May, respectively, through training camp last summer, knowing they would both open the season as backups. Rookie quarterbacks situations run the gamut depending on where the team is in its building process. Now, here's the quote from Brian Callahan. Quote, veteran players really don't care for guys being anointed. When Cam came in, we still had Will Levis before he had his surgery, and it was a pretty even split. It wasn't a false competition. Will was actually doing very well, I thought. And what that allowed Cam to do was earn guys' respect, earn the right to be the quarterback. The veterans want to find out if he's made of the right stuff. So there's Brian Callahan, and then before, Albert Breer. I'm sure Callahan told Breer the same thing when Breer shared it on his podcast, but I was curious about why haven't they just named Cam Ward QB1? We all know it's coming. Just say it. We heard from Breer. We heard from Callahan. I thought that quote from Callahan was interesting, Willie.
I think that's how it should be, really. I think he's not making that up, even though I think the reality is if it were anywhere close, and let's be honest, he's not competing against Roger Staubach, Terry Bradshaw, and, you know, name who else. Even, you know, Steve Young. The competition level was low. The bar was low for him to win that job. But yet, he's got to go through the process. I think I agree more than anything else with one part of that quote. The veterans want to see a guy go grab the job, right? Not just be handed something. Because when you're handed something, you don't necessarily have to work for it. And what I think is good is naturally, I think we're seeing Cam Ward has the work ethic. And he has done a good job of trying to not look like he is better than everybody else as he walks in. Hey, I'm the number one pick. Everything revolves around me. He is trying to earn that respect. And so I think the process is working out that way. Now, anything close, we all know the reality is he was going
to
start.
Now, Derek, let's go back to 2008 because we like to bring up your experience with Joe Flacco. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Joe Flacco was entering that season as QB3, but there were injuries to QB1 and QB2, correct?
Here's the deal. Steve McNair ended up retiring.
Mm-hmm.
Early. I don't think they expected, that he would retire maybe after the season, but not right then and there. But Steve had a lot of injuries, and I think that last year he was injured, it took a lot out of him. So he ends up, retiring. They end up drafting Joe. Now, Troy Smith was already there. Troy Smith was penciled in as the starter. And then it was Joe, and we had somebody else. I forget who the third quarterback was.
Was it Kyle Bowler at that time?
Yeah, Kyle might have been on the roster.
But didn't Troy Smith get hurt, like, in a preseason
game? No. Troy got sick.
Okay.
He didn't even play in a preseason
game. But it opened the door for Flacco.
And, Flacco came in, and obviously, you know, the rest is history with him. But when you see at the beginning, when they drafted Cam, there is competition because Will Levis is still there, and Will Levis is a young enough quarterback, hungry enough, that he was going to push Cam Ward as hard as he possibly and physically could by his play. He was going to push him, and that was supposed to be the race with whoever didn't win it. If Cam didn't win it outright, if there still was like some thought of, man, he's not ready, maybe, just maybe, there would have been an avenue for Will Levis to start. Maybe. But then you bring in Brandon Allen, who's there also. So to me, I felt if Will Levis didn't win the job, they were going to get rid of him or do something, and then Allen would be the guy behind him. But obviously, it didn't work. Will gets hurt, and he has surgery. But here's the part that I'm really concerned about, because I just want competition across the board. I think the kid is going to be the starting quarterback, and I think up until now he's earned that right to be sitting there. And if you're putting odds, you put it on him because he's earned that right. But nobody's pushing him, and this is what Callahan, they preach competition. He has no competition at that position. They just cut Boyle to bring in Simeon. Simeon's not pushing him.
Do you think their intention was to have Levis push him?
I think the intention was to have Will Levis push him,
and they believed
in his mind that the kid will win out.
Right.
Even if it was close, won.
Yeah. In a way, the race is a little bit fixed.
Exactly.
Right? You have a hope that the first pick in the draft is going to beat out Will Levis.
Exactly.
The problem you run into is, like, what if Will Levis actually wins the job?
And like, then that's a dilemma.
Right.
Then you have
a media mess that you probably don't want.
No, but that's a good dilemma. Because if Will Levis is playing really well, then that's a good thing to have. Because now you can honestly say, even though I would have wanted the kid to start, Cam to start, you would actually be able to go up to the podium and say the kid's not ready, and everybody would leave you because of what they would have seen from Will Levis. They would have said, you know what, they're right, the kid got pushed and Will won the job, but the kid is good and maybe he does need to sit a year.
I do want to go back to asking you about your experience in Baltimore. So unlike Cam Ward, who was the number one overall pick with the expectation that he was going to start right away, Joe Flacco was a first-round quarterback. He was a mid-first-round quarterback. But if I have it right, mm-hmm. he wasn't expected to be the starter immediately. Mm-hmm. So how did Flacco, when that opportunity presented itself, how did Flacco go about earning the trust of you and the other incredibly celebrated, heralded Ravens veterans on that team? What did he do?
Watched and learned, made sure he knew his job. And when he went out there, we knew he was going to have mistakes. But when we needed you, can you make a play for us? And he did it. He showed that he could make a play. Now, we didn't put him in many positions to where he had to win the game for us. We had a good defense, solid running game, and obviously I was there. So myself and Todd Heap. So we were good. And Mark Clayton, he was young. He was a rookie. Hell of a wide receiver at Oklahoma. But he just got injured. Once he got in the NFL, I thought he was going to have a really good career himself. But he ended up getting injured. But Joe, what he did is what Cam Ward is doing. He came in early, left late. He made sure he called meetings when he needed to. Made sure guys watch film with him. But the one thing he did, I think, better than anything, he watched the other leaders in front of him. He just watched them. And he didn't feel as if he had to go out and be the guy. He was one of 52 guys.
And there's a big difference, though.
Well, our team was different. You're right. The makeup of the team was different in Baltimore.
There were a lot of natural leaders on that 2008 Baltimore Ravens team.
No, you're right.
Can't say the same about the 2025 Tennessee
Titans. It's a tough situation to be in.
Yeah.
But I do like that he has not been crowned the starter before he ever earns the job. At least create
but everybody
some
knows
semblance
he's a starter. Everybody.
True, but you still make him go get it.
Let's go to our friend Gorilla on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. What's up, man? Go ahead.
What's going on, fellas? How you doing today, man?
Good.
Hey, check this out. I think the litmus test was over for him being the starter, you know, far as if there was any questions when the receiver came out, when Calvin Ridley came out and said what he said about him, when Jeffrey gave him a nod. And I'm of the persuasion of belief that it wasn't even really so much about Will Levis pulling him. I just felt like, I mean, Will Levis pushing him. I think they were just trying to pad Will Levis up to try to get a trade or something for him. I think that we drafted the kid to be the starter, number one, out the gate. One of the things that we were excited about that was coming out of the Titans camp was his leadership quality. So I think he's just a natural-born leader. And you know this here, Mace, you know, you can't breathe that. You can't fake that. The kid, he just has it. It's just in him. He knows how to lead men, you know? I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Gorilla. I mean, I think he has shown, you know, the ability to be a leader. He has those, you know, traits or intangibles that I think you need, and I think every day he's showing it. But it's not a finished product by no means, and there's going to be pitfalls. You just hope those falls are not as far and he doesn't hit the ground as hard because he's going to have to learn from each and every one of them. But I do think he has the makeup of what you want from a starting quarterback in this league. So now he has to put together you know, the product on the field.
Quickly, Willie, another interesting thing in this article by Dan Graziano, and Albert Breer wrote about this as well, but this is from Graziano. Quote, Callahan made the decision to make training camp as intentionally difficult as possible for Ward. The Titans are dialing up blitzes and fake blitzes in practice. They're also using a 15-second shot clock instead of a 40-second play clock, a trick Cincinnati used with Burrow in 2020. Given Ward's extensive college experience and makeup, the Titans coaches felt the best way to bring him along quickly was to stress him and let him work through the struggles.
That's been a theme that I think we've hit on throughout the camp that should be put into context when people throw out that he's completed only 56% of the passes in practice, etc. Well, that's part of the reason why they're making it difficult, more difficult than in theory it will be in a lot of game situations, not all game situations, because they're trying to simulate what it is going to be like in the toughest situations in the NFL. And they're going to be through, they're going to have some tough ones, starting with the first week at Mile High Stadium against one of the better defenses in the league. It's going to start off at a very high level. So I think that is definitely evident. So many people are picking up on those themes. They're trying to make it tough. The other thing that I see about Will Levis, D-Mace just mentioned it, the makeup. His makeup looks like a big plus.
You mean Cam Ward.
Cam Ward. His makeup looks very good. And here are a couple of examples. He doesn't look like he's about the commercials. I don't think we're going to see him pumping iron shirtless and things like that.
Someone's bringing up the docuseries as we speak, I'm sure, on our text line.
But that's different. That's different. I don't think we're going to be pitching mayonnaise, right? No offense to his predecessor.
No cologne.
I also don't think he's going to have a camera crew with his brother or relative or somebody sneaking up on a reporter and then intentionally catching him, you know, chastising reporter for not writing anything positive.
That was Shedeur Sanders,
him, which
not
is what
Will
Shedeur,
Levis.
Which is what Shedeur Sanders did. Okay, I don't think Cam Ward is about that. That is what everybody seems to be picking up on. He shows up at 5 o'clock. He goes through the meetings with his guys, and he is about football. And I think he says the right. I think that should serve him well. It doesn't mean he's going to be great or the team's going to be great right away. But I think it will help him get through the tough times. Not that there's any wrong way to do things, but I like his approach.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Cam Ward on our phone and text lines driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. But coming up next, Titans fans, you're miserable. But where does your misery rank in the NFL? We have data on that. We will share that coming up next. And you know what? Here's something to chase those blues away. Be caller number 2 at 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to the Nashville Dance Fest at the legendary Nashville Palace, September 5th through 7th. Nashville Dance Fest is taking over 90,000 square feet behind the legendary Nashville Palace for the ultimate country dance and music experience. So be caller number 2, 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to the Nashville Dance Fest at Nashville Palace, September 5th through 7th. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. A reminder, coming up at 5 o'clock, Titans fans, we're going to play a game called State Your Case. You tell us something about the Titans that you are absolutely certain of entering this season. You can call us, you can text us. This is, again, at 5 o'clock. But you tell us something about the Titans that you are absolutely certain of entering the season. Willie, Derek, and I will discuss it. We'll determine if you're onto something or full of crap, as I said earlier. So we'll do that at 5 o'clock. But before we get there, Titans fans, you're miserable. We know that. You know that. But where does your misery rank in the NFL? Because boy, oh boy, do I love to quantify things. And ESPN sent me, is it manna from heaven? Is that the saying? ESPN sent me manna from heaven with this tool called the Sports Misery Index. Whether there's confetti falling from your team's last title or you're still waiting to see your first, you probably have an idea of how satisfied or miserable you are as a fan. But could you put a number on it? So we're going to do this exercise together. I'm going to hit start. Hi, I'm Misery Bot. I will be your guide as we take a hard look at the teams you love. All right. So there are certain categories of misery. Titans fans, I'm going to put you at the worst category, woeful, the lowest of lows. We wouldn't wish this on anyone, almost anyone, because the Titans have, in fact, been the worst team in the NFL over the past 2.5 years. So now I'm going to type in the Tennessee Titans. And Misery Bot says, the Tennessee Titans still can't believe Kevin Dyson came that close.
Wow.
How long have you been a fan? Less than 5 years? 5 to 15 years or 15 plus years? I think a lot of you are 15 plus year fans of the Titans, so I'll do that. See results. It's calculating. So, according to this misery index, and let me tell you how ESPN came up with this number. Quote, these ratings were determined using a combination of regular season wins, postseason success, and expected win data in the form of preseason over-unders. This information was collected for each of the 7 leagues going back a maximum of 25 years. Expected win data was not available for every season of every sport, so in some cases that data was omitted from the formula. Postseason results were weighted slightly more than regular season results. So the Tennessee Titans, according to this formula, have a misery rating of 90, which ranks 8th in the NFL, which is bad.
Most woeful?
Yes, which is bad. Let me tell you the teams that are ahead of the Tennessee Titans in the misery index, and then you all tell me if you think where the Titans are is appropriate. Number 1 with a rating of 97. Well, actually it's tied for first because there are 2 with 97 ratings. The Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Jets have ratings of 97. Wow. So Jacksonville and the Jets are numbers 1 and 2 are tied for first. At number 3 with a misery rating of 96, the Cleveland Browns. At 4, actually tied for 4th, the Chicago Bears and the Las Vegas Raiders at 94. And tied for 6th at 91 apiece, the Arizona Cardinals and the Washington Commanders. So here are the teams again.
So the Commanders somehow got down to 91. They must have been higher than 91 because they had a pretty good year last year.
Well, keep in mind,
they must have been 100%.
Keep in mind, I believe they had not won a playoff game in 20 years before winning last year. So again, according to ESPN's Sports Misery Index, here are the fan bases in the NFL who should be more miserable than the Tennessee Titans. Jacksonville, the Jets, Cleveland, Chicago, Las Vegas, Arizona, and Washington.
I'm surprised the Lions are not above the Titans.
That's what I was thinking.
They've shaved down.
The Lions are tied for 13th at 87 with the Carolina Panthers.
What?
Well, the Panthers have at least made it to a couple of Super Bowls.
Yeah, you got a point. The Detroit hadn't made it to any.
But they've been playing well lately.
They've had some had an uptick. They must have been in the mid-90s not long ago.
They've been playing well for 2 years.
They're now all the way up to 14.
And before that, they were horrible.
But there's a feel-good.
Don't blame me. Thing blame
right
the
now.
Data.
The data. I'm not seeing. Listen. The saying is, you know, numbers are, you know, they're correct and all that. They don't lie. The numbers don't lie. The numbers are lying.
But don't
they
you
are
think,
lying for
how,
the Lions.
How the current. Today feeling is probably weighted more than anything else, right?
Yes.
Because if it weren't, then the Buccaneers...
Well, Washington shouldn't be up there, dear, because everybody feel good about the Commanders.
Yeah, but that's how bad they were before.
The Lions were even worse. Right.
But at least they have 2 years of good.
Yeah, you got a point.
Washington's got 1 year.
You got a point.
But what do you think about that list? So Derek thinks...
Ironically, Washington beat Detroit in the playoff game.
So Derek thinks the Lions should be above the Titans. Considering that the Titans have had more, I mean, the Titans did have a run of playoff success not too long ago.
Well, they had what, 6 straight winning seasons, right?
Yeah,
that's not miserable.
And they've been to a AFC Championship game in the process.
Couple division championships.
Couple division championships. Are they how far back are they going?
Take a look below to see where your team stands among the competition over the last 15 years.
Oh well, okay. We can't go back to.
So it doesn't count the Super Bowl team.
Exactly, yeah.
The best Titans teams.
But even with that, the Lions, they've been horrible. How did the Lions get...
By the way, there are 3 teams in the NFL with a misery rating of 0. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the New England Patriots.
But the Philadelphia Eagles, the Philadelphia fans are always miserable about something. Like, remember, even between... The 2 Super Bowls. Remember how ugly it got when
they were
10-1.
Fire Nick Sirianni. Sirianni.
Absolutely.
Like, during the
it got
their
ugly
trip
that
to
year.
The Super Bowl this year. They were thinking about it.
They got destroyed by who in the first round? The Buccaneers just crushed them in the first round of the playoffs 2 years ago, and that ended a run where I think they lost 7 of the last 8, something like that. I think they went from 10-1 to out, maybe won 1 game in there. There was definitely some misery in there.
So
0?
So number 1.
It can't be 0.
0.
There was misery in there.
Number 1. One of the number ones.
And the Philadelphia fans are miserable to start with. Who are we kidding? They threw the snowballs at Santa Claus.
Yeah, anytime you throw snowballs at Santa
Claus. Can't forget that.
Santa Claus?
We know that the Jets fans are miserable. We know that Jets fans are miserable because the Jets have not made the playoffs in a decade and a half. So we know that Jets fans are miserable. I didn't realize this about the Jacksonville Jaguars, who also have the highest misery index rating of 97. The Jacksonville Jaguars made the playoffs in 4 of their first 5 seasons as a franchise. Since then, so since the year 2000, they have made the playoffs 4 times. So 4 times in the first 5 years. Since then, 4 times in the past 25 years, basically.
Good grief.
So they're pretty miserable.
Yeah, they are.
After getting a taste of the good times early.
Yeah.
Jonathan in East Nashville says, Chiefs fans still live in Kansas. Well, they actually live in Missouri. How can it be 0? There have to be location factors included. That is not a part of the algorithm, I don't think.
Don't take a cheap shot at Kansas City like that.
So where do we think about the Titans' placement on this list? 8th. Fair?
I mean,
too high, too low?
I think if you're basing it on, you know, what we are experiencing now, then I would say, yeah, the misery index should be high. But I think within the last 15 years, I mean, you throw in AFC Championship game, some really good seasons, playoff seasons where they've won inside the playoffs. I would have thought it would have been lower than that. But these last 2 seasons, you know, especially – you know, the last one, that was just a cherry on top where you, after 2 losing seasons and then that 3rd, you get the number 1 pick. That's a cherry on top. So I can see why, you know, the misery index is high because looking at this roster, looking at what they have done in the past, the roster that they have now based on the past and what you saw last year, yeah, I mean, it would seem pretty miserable around here.
By the way, because the ESPN did this for the NFL, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, the NBA, the NHL, the National Women's Soccer League, if I have that correct, and the WNBA. Predators fans, you rank 17th in the NHL in the misery index with a misery rating of 76.
Did anybody have a 100 misery rating?
I'll have to take a look. By the way, the clear leader in the clubhouse in the NHL, no shock here, Willie Donick, the Buffalo Sabres with a rating of 90, with a rating of 97. Okay, let's see who the highest are.
97. You know,
what's interesting is the Maple Leafs. I looked at the Maple Leafs. They're 12th. You know that their misery just reaches levels that we can't even comprehend.
It can't be quantified.
Yeah.
So you want to know the highest ratings in each.
I think the system is a little bit off.
In the four major sports.
It has to be basketball.
In the four major sports, the Jaguars and Jets in the NFL tied at 97. Mm-hmm. In Major League Baseball, the White Sox and Rockies tied at 95. In the NBA, the Pistons all alone at 98.
What? My Pistons?
And the Sabres in the NHL at 97.
That's what I mean.
They were improved.
They got a good team. They went to the playoffs last year.
The Detroit
being awful.
Yeah.
Right, 27 straight losses.
The Pistons have the worst rating of all of the leagues at 98.
Damn. I think that's fair.
Why did I even ask you that question? In my hometown team, it would be that.
615-737-1025. Is that an accurate representation of your misery, listeners? The Titans, the eighth most miserable fans, according to this fancy algorithm from ESPN, with a rating of 90, behind only the likes of Jacksonville, the Jets, Cleveland, Chicago, Las Vegas, Arizona, and Washington. You let us know. 615-737-1025. There is another question based off of this that I do want to ask Willie and Derek, and we'll do that next. But I want to know, is that an accurate representation of your misery? 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, the game. D Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. A reminder, coming up in the next segment at 5 o'clock, Titans fans, it's time to state your case. You tell us something about the Titans that you are absolutely certain of entering this season. And Willie, Derek, and I will discuss it, and we'll determine how reasonable your case is. And we will do that at 5 o'clock, so be listening then. You can also get them in early if you'd like. First come, first serve at 615-737-1025. So we were just talking about ESPN's Sports Misery Index. The Tennessee Titans in the NFL rank 8th, meaning Titans fans, you are the 8th most miserable fans in the NFL. Behind Jacksonville, the Jets, Cleveland, Chicago, Las Vegas, Arizona, and Washington. So here's my question. Of those teams, let's focus on those 8, the Titans and the 7 above them in this list. Where would you rank the Titans in terms of the likeliest to get out of this group?
I think the hardest thing about this is to set aside how currently miserable you are. Mm-hmm. Because if you'd have done this a few years ago, they wouldn't have been that miserable. I think it was more miserable after not seizing on the success of the out-of-nowhere run of 2019, mm-hmm. right? And then squandering home field advantage in the playoffs in 2020 and 2021. That's a different kind of misery. But it's hard to top Jacksonville and the Browns and the Raiders and what was the other one at the top? Washington for a long time, but who am I missing at the very, very top besides Cleveland and Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, the Jets.
The Jets, oh my
Cleveland,
goodness.
Chicago, Jets. Las Vegas, Arizona, and Washington.
That's tough to top. That's tough to top that level of misery there. But I think if they hit on Cam Ward, I think they could get out of it reasonably fast, but we just have talked about the lack of success of first overall picks here recently and how it doesn't always solve your problems. If Cam Ward doesn't hit, then they could go up on the list, don't you think?
Yeah, they may.
They could sink lower.
Washington is clearly a number one on this list, I would say. Of the teams ahead of the Titans in terms of getting out of that misery.
They appear
group.
To have the savior that has rescued them from this list.
So who?
Because they were a perpetual team on that list for decades.
Yes. Who would you put second?
second on the misery list.
So if Washington is number one in terms of the teams
getting out of the list,
of getting out of the top, getting off the top of the list, if Washington is one, who's two? Between Jacksonville, the Jets, Cleveland, Chicago, Las Vegas, Arizona.
I would say Arizona.
Really?
Yeah, I would say Arizona. I think Arizona has
spinning their wheels.
Yeah.
I think Arizona. You're just talking about, I mean, you can go to the Raiders because of Pete Carroll and Geno Smith, but it doesn't seem like, you know, word coming out of there, they ain't seem like they're getting any better. The Raiders are.
They do have an all-pro second-year tight end.
Yeah, you do.
That's
you're
helpful.
Right about that.
And a great pass rusher in Max Crosby.
You're right about that.
So they do have those things.
And that same team was miserable last year.
But they won't have the same coach either for long just because Pete Carroll's in his 70s.
That is true.
And Geno, and they don't have a franchise quarterback either because Geno is in his 30s.
Part of me wanted to put Chicago next, but we talked about Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Chicago has problems. I don't know what's going on down there. So if Washington's number one, I'm picking Arizona.
I agree with Willie. It seems like annual mediocrity. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It could be.
I don't think Kyler Murray is the type of quarterback that gets them to the next level.
I think their offense is going to be a pretty good offense, and it's going to carry them. They got some defensive players, but I'm picking Arizona.
Murray can sort of tease you and have a section of a really good run. Like, he can play three or four straight games where you're like, wow, this guy's really good. But it just never seems to manifest itself.
Long term,
yeah. So that's that first seven is pretty good. The Bears should, with all of the picks that they've acquired and put out there, and I would say also that, as recently as about 2 years ago, I was all in on Jacksonville was going to make a big push. They should go on a run of success. Because when you pick that high that many times, you should eventually get some good players.
Yeah, you
should. They have messed some stuff up.
I would say, realistically, if you're looking at it, which team should, outside of Washington, obviously, it has to be the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they got so much talent.
Does it, though?
On their team. I mean, if you just look at their team, they got the best defensive player in the NFL, I believe, in Myles Garrett. They got some really solid players. They're still trying to figure out the quarterback position.
Which they've been trying to do
exactly.
for how long
they've been
now?
Trying,
since they came back to the
NFL. Since they got back, really. Yes. They've had their little, they've had some good play here and there. But they thought, obviously, Deshaun Watson was going to be their guy. He turns out not to be. But they have a good group of individuals, I think, players. A lot of them on the defensive side, obviously. But they got some solid to good players on offense. This team shouldn't be as bad as they have been the last couple of years. And I think everybody can agree with that. This because they've had enough picks in the top 10 that this team should be better. They're only two years removed from going to the playoffs? Was it 2 years?
Joe Flacco took them to the playoffs. Yeah.
So this team is
the
not.
The misery was relieved for a brief period there.
But the misery has also dyed in the wool if you are a Cleveland Browns fan. So you could.
Believe land.
Well, it's like using a Tide pen. You can use it and the stain looks a little bit better, but the stain is still there. So that's what that playoff appearance was for the Cleveland Browns. It's like the stain doesn't look as bad, but the stain is still there.
I think we'd have to admit there's some recency bias in this list.
Yes.
But the layers, the Browns have got layers of the misery because they've had an 0-16 in there.
Yeah. Well, Detroit did too.
That was an 08.
Oh, so they just missed it.
This may be excluded. That may be excluded.
2 years.
From the 15-year mark.
I should have used, Willie, instead of the Tide pen, I should have used the Seinfeld reference with the cashmere, the spot on the cashmere. Like, you can try to get it out. It'll never come out, right? Let's go to Mark in Nashville on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Mark, my man, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
All right, hold up just a minute. This call is brought to you by 102.5 The Game. This is Mark from Nashville. Number one caller in Nashville, y'all, and crown me. Today you crown me, Adam, number one caller.
We'll see how good this call is first, Mark.
You got to keep proving yourself every day. You're only as good as your last call, Mark.
Exactly.
Hey, Willie, I'm good. My call.
Oh, yeah, I got confidence in you. I believe in you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, D Mace, the disrespect for Detroit. Man, you're from up that way. I got relatives up that way. Texting me right now, hollering about what is D Mace talking about?
They know what I'm talking about. D-Mace. 50 years of misery.
Yeah, but you, D Mace, they got a good young team. They're going to stay good. Now, what I'm going to worry about is the loss of Ben Johnson, because that's a big loss right there, D Mace. I mean, that's a huge loss. That's even more of a loss losing Campbell than it was him. So I want to see what that translates into with Joe Morton and the new defensive coordinator Kelvin Shepherd. But I mean, man, people need to be patient with the Titans. They really do. Give Cam a chance, man. He's just a rookie. He hadn't even played his first NFL game. I mean, preseason don't really count to me. It's when they start the games that matter, the money games, where they make their money. Let's see what Cam does. I hope Callahan gets to stay, because I want to see him grow with Cam Ward, man. I want to see him grow just like some of these other coaches get to grow with their players, Belichick, Brady, it's like that. I'm not going to say 20 years of that, but I just want to see him grow and have a chance to be a good quarterback, because I don't want to see Callahan lose his job. Then you got another head coach. You got to learn another offensive system. That's not good for a second-year guy coming off his rookie year. But, I mean, look, people, just give him a chance and stuff. Yeah, they're in a bad dilemma right now, but Arizona D. Mace, come on now, man. Chicago, man. Like Willie said, you and Willie said, they got all these draft picks, man. There is no excuse for them. Now you got Ben Johnson. Taylor Williams has to produce now. He's got to go 70% of his pass. He's got to get them to a playoff. They got to win. Y'all said y'all wanted a good call. Here it is. So, people, don't forget, Mark from Nashville, I speak for the people. I'm crowned number one caller. There you go, Willie. Put it in the bank. D-Mace. Adam, nice talking to you, Adam. I'm sorry I didn't get to speak to you first. But I had a lot on my mind. D-Mace, I hadn't forgot. So don't get on me. D-Mace, don't get on me. Adam, what's up? D-Mace, what's up? Willie, what's up? Hey, man, y'all. Good day. I'm going to take myself home. I'm tired. I got to make another trip to Atlanta tomorrow. So I'll be calling in tomorrow, too.
All right, Mark. We'll be listening to you.
Thank you, Mark.
We'll be waiting for you. Thank you, Mark.
Let's merge the misery index with what we use as the first topic, right? So there are 9 quarterbacks that were picked from 2021 through 2024 with one of the first 4 picks in the draft. Trevor Lawrence, Jacksonville.
Misery index. Tied number one.
Caleb Williams, Bears.
They're in the top 5 as well. I closed the box. I have to get it back up.
Number 3 in the misery index, right? Bryce Young, Panthers. They are still living off some Cam Newton years, I think. Zach Wilson, Jets. Second pick in the draft. High misery index. He's on his third team already. Jaden Daniels. The savior, he's the guy on this list that has gotten his team dangerously close to being out of the misery index, but Washington is still on the list.
At number 7.
C.J. Stroud, second pick in the draft. Pretty good success story. Daniels and Stroud are the two most successful quarterbacks of these 9. Trey Lance, this is kind of an outlier, right? San Francisco traded up, used the 3rd pick in the draft on Trey Lance. That one worked terribly, but yet...
The Niners are 25th in the misery index.
Yeah, they've won a lot of games despite that. That's a weird one. Drake May for the Patriots, 3rd pick in the draft. He's only on his second year. But
a misery index of 0 for the New England Patriots.
Currently?
Yes.
They were pretty bad last year.
The Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Eagles, 0.
It's still living off the Brady years.
Correct.
And then 9th is Anthony Richardson, the 4th pick in the draft, who's dangerously close to moving on from him. So that is not the most impressive list of 9 quarterbacks there. There's a lot of misery when you pick that high. And I think it sets the backdrop for what Cam Ward has in front of him. Because 7 of those 9 quarterbacks have already seen a coaching change in either the head coach, the offensive coordinator, or both.
615-737-1025. Summary. Y'all are miserable. We know that. But now at least we have a number we can put on it. 615-737-1025. Okay, it's time, Titans fans, to state your case. Here is what I need you to do. Call us or text us at 615-737-1025 and tell us something about the Titans that you are absolutely certain of entering this season. and Willie, Derek, and I, we will discuss it, and we will do that next. 615-737-1025. State your case, Titans fans. Let us know something that you are absolutely certain of in your gut, in your bones, and we will discuss it. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingit, 102.5 The Game.